By might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
See, we are nearly getting there, slowly getting into the end of 2019. Moses, turn me down a little bit. There's an echo as well. And as we get into the end of the year, what I can say is that whatever you plan doing in the new year, whatever resolutions that you have on your mind to say tonight, it is not by your might, it is not by your power, but by the Spirit of God. If God is not in it, if His Spirit is not in it, it's not going to be anything. You forget it the next day after that, and that resolution will come to absolutely nothing. And today I want to encourage you with scripture from 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. There's still an echo in the voice. Try and manipulate something in the top somewhere. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. If you've got a reading, we would like to see it. It says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the evil one." I will repeat it. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Now we have come to the end of 2019, and at the same time, the end of a decade. That means 10 years have come to an end. A lot has changed in everyone's life. Almost everybody here has become older. That is absolutely true. Some of you have gone grayer. Who hasn't gone older? Tell me. We can't deceive ourselves. But some have become wiser in the last decade. Isn't that right? And I'm sure you all say you're wiser now, right?
Yes.
Okay, apart from four people. Some are more educated. Because 10 years ago, people who were 14 right now were 4-year-olds. They were just trying to find their way in a nursery to go in for a couple of hours and come back. And now they are 14-year-olds. Serious, in secondary school. So you can see that people are older. And some of you have even started working and you are wealthier. Or relatively wealthier. And that is absolutely good. But whatever it is, 10 years is a long time, and something has happened in your life or changed in your life. And today I just want you to know that there has been victories for some of you that we want to celebrate with you. And others have faced challenges that you have conquered and adversities that you are keen to overcome in the coming year and live in the next decade with much hope and victory. Is that right? I want that in my life. In fact, the fact that you're here tonight is for a reason. Or the fact that you are representing your household here tonight, this evening, is a sign that you want to align your life with that of God. Otherwise, you would have been at Trafalgar Square. Otherwise, you'd have been sitting right in front of your television. Otherwise, you've been probably somewhere in the pub drinking your head out. The fact that you're here is because you really want to engage with God and you're not coming for a religious purpose. Because here in this church, we don't do religion. God is a reality for us. Because over here, we experience the supernatural presence of God and we experience the power of God. Christianity is not a formality, it's real and serious business for us. So I just want you to know life without God is independence and rebellion. When we live a life that way, we cannot walk in the purpose that God has ordained for our lives when you are independent from God. That means if God is not a priority for you and the center of your life, if he hasn't been for this year, if you just dip in and dip out, if you just touch him a little bit and leave him a little bit and just do it when it is convenient for you, I just want you to know that 2019 is come. And today you are ready to align your life with God so that you're going to enter the next year to have intimacy with God, closeness with God. Amen? You want to do that. In fact, rebellion and independence from God is a signature of the devil. Yes? That is exactly where Satan wants people to be in this coming year and decade. When we listen to that and do not give God first place in our lives, this leads to disobedience. Shall we read again? He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. You see, these three attributes, or behavior patterns, independence from God, rebellion from God, and disobedience to his word, together is what we call sin. Sin will separate you from God. If you are independent from God, you are far from God. If God is not a priority except for 31st night, 31st December, then you're so far from God, but you're on the right track because you are here. Do you want to re-engage with God? So if there is a resolution that you want to have, I would say if there is a commitment that you want to have, that commitment should be that you want to align your life with God's purpose, so that God's supernatural power will lead you into the coming year, so that God will guide you every step of the way, because you're not going to do it by your might. You're not going to do it by your mind or your strength, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. You see, we want to release something into you tonight, that you get into the new year with the Spirit of God guiding you. God, there's no point just dipping in tonight and go and forget about it. Then you might as well have stayed at home. But it's good that you're here, because as you're here, then we're going to align our purpose to the works of God, instead of aligning our purpose to the works of the enemy. Sin will separate us. The Bible said anyone who sins is of the devil. That means you cannot say that, yeah, I mean, I'm sinning, but I'm a Christian. Oh, everybody, I mean, we're not perfect. When you hear people say, we are not perfect, that means they are sinners. You know that? Each time they say we are not perfect, that means they know they are sinners, but they don't want you to actually hit on it. So they are just owning up, but they won't tell you what it is. They don't have to tell you. But I just want you to know that anyone who knows God will not even sit down and say, I'm not perfect. You want to align yourself with God. That is priority for you. Do you understand that? That is priority for you. So independence, rebellion, disobedience from God is sin. And that makes you align yourself to the enemy. But Jesus therefore came to destroy the works of the evil one, so that your blessings in the coming year will not be curtailed. So that your blessings will not be delayed. Amen? Amen. So I would say Jesus brings hope to mankind. There is a spirit realm out there, but many walk in this world without realizing how it can affect their life for good or for evil. Some people don't even believe in the spirit realm. You know what? We are Christians. We are Christ followers. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's not a cliche for us. It's a reality for us. In this church, we experience the Holy Spirit powerfully. In this church, we also know that there are persons without bodies. You understand that? You see, there is a spirit realm out there that those who know how to tap in it, they can tap in it for to make sure that they can destroy your life. And others will tap in it for your good. And in this church, we will tap in it for your good. So the spirit realm can be evil and the spirit realm can be good. But we believe in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is for good. It's for your good, it's for my good. And therefore, in this church, we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to leverage your destiny towards that of God. That is why we're here. Hallelujah. See, don't be afraid, you're in a good place. I just want to encourage you in this coming year that there's a spirit realm out there, and you have to make sure you know what is hitting you when it's coming. There are persons without bodies to destroy and to destroy people. However, there are also angelic beings out there to help you and to minister to you. We need to become aware of this supernatural. Spirit realm is the same as supernatural, in case you are wondering what it is. We call it supernatural. Yes, there are supernatural things out there. And in this church, the supernatural power of God is manifested here. We see it. So our faith is not a fake faith. It's a reality for us. Some of you have been here before and been thinking, God, this church has changed. Yes, it has changed. Because here we can look at the devil in the face and we cast them out of people. Hallelujah. That's absolutely true. Whenever there's a battle, there's only one winner. And the winner will be a child of God. Hallelujah. You see, we need to be aware of the supernatural world and know how it works, so that we can walk in it, that our purpose in this world will not be distorted and our blessings will not be delayed. The prophet Isaiah gave us a glimpse of what the devil has done to some people and to those who are far from God. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 7, it gives a glimpse of that. But Jesus Christ summed it up in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. And I'd like to read for you. And this is what the sovereign Lord said. The spirit of the sovereign Lord. Moses, can you adjust this for me? It is not working properly. The spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. You see, the spirit of the living God has anointed us. That's what Jesus Christ was saying. That was 700 years before Christ was born. And we are thinking about Christmas, right? So God foresaw what is in this world, and therefore when he sent Jesus Christ into it, then what he did was that he sent him to deal with what impoverished us. So we are impoverished indeed when God is not a priority in our lives. And we are the guys that Jesus Christ came to say, the spirit of living God is upon me. The spirit of sovereign God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. You see, poverty or lack is a curse from the enemy. And Christ has come to break that curse. Do you understand that? Because God did not create anybody to be poor. How can I give it to you? Because I'm educated. And you tell me what is wonderful about being poor. Nothing like that at all. And I just want to challenge you. I'm not preaching prosperity, but then I'm not afraid to preach prosperity either. Because the Bible said, I wish above all things that each one of you will prosper, even as your faith prospers. God wants us to prosper in our health. God wants us to prosper in our education. God wants us to prosper in our job. God wants us to prosper with our children, our families, and our spouses. He wants things to be well for us. If things are not going well, then it is not from God. Somebody said, we make the mistakes. Of course, you may make mistakes, but if you align your life with God, when you make a mistake, you are able to always go back, because the Holy Spirit reminds you, and you just pray through, and God actually directs you what to do with your lives. You see, many people need healing of the body and also healing of the soul as a result of brokenness and generational curse. You see, brokenness, I'm preaching this church before, brokenness is when you have gone through painful experiences of life. And some of you in this year, you've gone through painful experiences of life. And the Bible said, the spirit of the living God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor and to bring healing. to those who are bruised. So, if you've gone through painful experience of life, Jesus Christ wants to heal you today. You see, some go through in many, many ways. Not everybody's situation the same as the other. Somebody will probably have a broken marriage. Others will have, lost some investment. Other people, children will go off the rail. Some people, something may not happen. They may lose a loved one or something. As I'm speaking right now, just a few days ago, my cousin, very close cousin, just died. And the funny thing is that the day before, I was praying and I felt like, oh, give her a call. And in the course of the day, I just forgot. The next day, I hear she's dead. These things are painful, right? Painful experiences of life. And we go through these things. But Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. Because your heart is broken. And when your heart is broken, it can affect you for life. If you don't get proper healing. And sometimes we use counseling to massage it. Hopefully it will go, but it takes a long, long time and it doesn't go. Because the bruising is like a pain that is under the skin. That takes a while to go. And you have to nurse it. But then when God comes in and heals you in the inner man and gives you deliverance from brokenness, it is one time and you are set free from it. And this church, we do inner healing and deliverance. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You see, you'd be thinking, oh, a Baptist church talking about this? Yes, a Baptist church talking about this, because Jesus Christ was actually not a Baptist. You'd be surprised to know. He wasn't a Pentecostal, he wasn't a Charismatic, he wasn't an Anglican, he wasn't a Catholic, he wasn't a Presbyterian or Methodist. Jesus is Jesus. Amen. And he came casting out devils. He came healing those who were sick. He came to heal the brokenhearted. So that we do, as Christ followers, we do what Christ does. That is the supernatural power we're talking about. And God has given it to us. We're excited about it going into the next year. And want to recommend it to you that you need to align your life with Christ. Others are held captive by strong men. Therefore, they can't break through in their lives, however hard they try. Have you been in that place this year that you've tried so much about certain things you never got what you wanted? Probably you set many exams and you failed them all. Or maybe somehow you wanted a particular job, you've done everything and you haven't got it, you wanted a promotion, you haven't been able to get it, you wanted some breakthrough in your investment and your money, and nothing has happened, you've been praying about certain things, hasn't happened, because you need to know how to connect these things in the proper way. And this year, I want to encourage you. Align yourself with God. Because Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the evil one. These things that hold you back, these mountains, these valleys, this darkness that overshadow you, Jesus Christ came to set you free. Because there are some strong men behind, you know. It's not something I'm inventing. If you look at Luke chapter 11, Jesus Christ said, how can you set somebody free unless you go to the house of a strong man and overpower that person, isn't it? What do you think he was talking about? They asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Luke 11 talks about three levels of prayer. The first level is to pray for yourself. Learn to create intimacy between you and God. The second level is to ask from your friend, who is God, for a friend, who is the person that you are interceding for. That's intercessory prayer. And then the third level is warfare kind of prayer. Am I teaching you here? Yes. You see, and we have to move from place to place. Some of you haven't even gone past the first level. Your prayer is still, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Only reciting things, no power. You become powerless Christians. But we want you to be powerful Christians going into the new year. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. God wants us to be powerful because our God is powerful God. He is all powerful, isn't he? Yes. The Holy Spirit is power. Because the Bible tells in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that you wait and when the Holy Spirit come upon you, he shall give you power to stand up for Christ. So you got to begin to be ready to say, God, I am ready for the power of God to be upon me. And this new year, I just want to encourage that none of you should be a powerless Christian. If you're a powerless Christian, you cannot even rebuke the devil. You can't even rebuke a headache. And headache is easy to deal with that. Hallelujah. You see, our faith is so powerful. And I just want to encourage you in the coming year. You guys are sitting here as people of God, and I want you to know that you are powerful people. Our faith is powerful, and we have to be ready to say, in the coming year, I'm going to be powerful. I'm going to put the enemy to flight. I'm going to destroy the works of the evil one, and whatever the enemy raises up a standard against me, I'm going to really break through, because I know how to pray. Amen. Help me out. Something needs to be sorted out, please. So, I just want to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters. If you think, gosh, I'm preaching a new message, yes, I just want you to focus. Turn to somebody and say, focus. Some of you are not saying it. Can I turn to somebody and say, focus? Thank you. You see, others are blind to the gospel. You see, he said we want to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Others are blind to the gospel of Christ and can't see the dangers ahead of them until adversity strikes. You see, do you know a lot of people just walk about? They're Christian, they're Christ followers, they go to church, they've been born again, they speak in tongues, they do absolutely nothing. They get up, they put on their clothes, and they walk. Some too don't even know Jesus at all. They get up and they walk and they go to church and they go about everything until something goes wrong, then they are helpless. And this is what I'm talking about. You know what the Bible describes? He said, you are blind. You are blind to the truth of God and the reality of Jesus Christ. So he came to set free those who are blind and can't see the dangers ahead. There are so much oppression and injustices in this world. And the enemy wants you to think that it's God's fault that is happening. I've met so many people who said, oh, if there is a God, if there is a God, if there is a God, if there... You tell me, is God the one who's raping people on the street? You tell me. Hello? Is God the one who's beating people and discriminating in your work? Is he? Is God a person who's in your school that somebody is bullying you? Is he? So what are you blaming God for? If there is a God, why are all these bad things happening? The enemy wants you to believe that it is God's fault. Actually, it's not. It is his fault. Because he's doing all these bad things and making you think that it's God. So when you begin to have that kind of mindset, you cannot engage with God. Then he destroys your life. He destroys your future. He messes your life up. And you end up becoming nothing. And you'll be thinking, whoa. Then you are so bitter, twisted, angry with everybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. You become secluded. It is God's fault. These are the works of the evil one. And God has come to destroy that through Jesus Christ. And in this coming year, we want you to know that if you align yourself with God, you'll be able to deal with situations like that. We cannot blame God for the things that we do. Because the devil has unleashed a powerful army of wickedness to mess up lives. These sometimes manifest itself in depression, some mental illness, some unbelief, hatred, discrimination, alternative lifestyles, etc. And they think it's okay. Alternative lifestyle is not okay. Are you hearing that? It is not okay. I'm not saying go and beat and kill everybody who thinks about alternative lifestyle, but it's not the norm. And in this church, none of my children workers will be allowed to teach that here in this church. You understand that? Amen? Amen. Satan wants to force the world to accept these as normal behavior. But Jesus came to set people free and destroy the works of the evil one. In the place of work, in the place of the works of the evil one, Jesus came to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord's favor. That means now, and the next decade, God wants you to experience his favor. God wants to bring the favor of the Lord upon you. God wants you to experience good things in your life. He wants you to experience blessing in your life. So in 2020, God wants you to experience his favor. He wants you to experience his blessings. But you got to align yourself with him. You see, and if you want somebody to favor you, you have an expectation, don't you? Yeah? You got to have an expectation to have a favor from somebody. You cannot sit down and wait for favor to come upon you. Hello? I was going to use an example, some example, but they will tell me that I'm racist, so I will stop it. But okay, so what I'm trying to say is that if you want favor, you've got to have an expectation. And God is going to bring opportunities in your life in the coming year that you've got to be ready to receive them. You've got to be ready to see them. You've got to be ready to lay hold on to them. But you'll be ready if you are praying to this God. You'll be ready if you are listening to this God. You'll be ready if you align yourself to this God. Then you'll see these opportunities and you'll grab them. Amen? If not, you'll be walking blind. And think about it. 10 years have gone. And begin to see yourself the next 10 years. What will you be like? I'll probably go a little bit gray, but I'm sure I'm going to be wiser. Ask yourself, 2020 is the beginning of another decade. That means 10 years. So not just an ordinary year, but the beginning of a 10-year journey. So in this 10-year journey, you got to take your opportunities. You got to have your expectations. You got to have a plan and let God direct your path, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs that God, man's mind make his mind, but God direct his path. So what plans have you got for the next 10 years? Your plan should not be just for 2020. It's got to be a 10-year program. And this plan, you got to work towards it and allow God to direct you. That is when you see his favor come for you. That is when you see his purpose come for you. That's when you see his blessings come upon you. 10 years time. Anything that you did not like in the last decade or last year, you say, God, that ain't going to be my portion. Hallelujah. Amen. Your portion is going to be your expectations based upon God. So I'm painting the picture for you. No short-termisms. If you have a long-term goal, then you take it one day at a time to work yourself towards it, because you cannot get into, say, where, Peckham without going through New Cross or Lewisham. Is that right? Some of you go through Kidbrook, but that's your choice. But whatever it is, you got to go through somewhere to get there. So have in your mind where you want to go. Have your mind a picture of the future. And then you work toward it. That is what English language call it, vision. What is your vision for the next decade? Paint a picture for yourself, an expectation, and say, God, now this is my plan, this is my program. I am going to go there in the next 10 years. I want you to go with me. Because if 10 years time you are sitting exactly where you are and you are just exactly what you are, there's a problem. Because the child on your lap, madam, is going to be 10 years older. And she's going to answer back if she hasn't answered already. So you've got to be ready for that. If you're not ready, you'll be surprised by it. And be thinking, whoa, I didn't know Zemira can talk. She's how old is she now? She'll be 16 in 10 years' time. So I just want you to have that vision. If 10 years time your child or you are the same thing, that means you are not growing. There is a problem. You cannot tell me that it is all right. Because if you have a child right now, or if you're pregnant by a child right now, and 10 years time you're still pregnant, there's a problem. See, I'm just giving you extreme examples, but then I want you to get it into your head that you cannot stay where you are. Where you are is just a step. And the next 10 years should be a better place to be. Is that okay? So, what I want you to say that I want you to get is that somehow along, Jesus Christ said, now today, I want you to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. So that means Jesus Christ is actually painting a picture of some greatness and goodness and bigness and blessings for you in the coming year and in the coming decade. That is the picture he's painting for you, and I want you to get it, because you're going to get there soon. I have a few minutes and I'll make sure that I'll finish soon. Now I want you to understand the blessings that we get in obedience. Let's read my last scripture, I believe. Hopefully, it's my last scripture. maybe the last part one, actually. I'll be quite quick. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 to 27. Said, worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I'll give you a full life. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs on you. That's NIV. Great. But let me read from New King James Version. It come with the weightier bit that I want to say. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. I like that. If you serve the Lord your God, he will bless what? Your bread and your water. Whatever gives you sustenance, God is going to bring a blessing for you. Amen. Amen. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's what he says. Verse 20 says, and no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. So certain things that you've aborted for many years, sometimes not just physical miscarriage, but then that applies to that too. But then sometimes you started a project and you never finish. Something just about the time that you think it should mature for, it should come into fruition, then it goes. But Jesus Christ is saying, look, you know what? In this coming year, no one should miscarriage what you carry. No one should abort it. This is amazing. Or no one should be barren in your land, in your home. So that means anything that you do should be fruitful. There should be no unfruitfulness in your life. Say to yourself, there's going to be no unfruitfulness in my life. There's going to be no unfruitfulness in my life. That's what the Bible tells us. You have to declare this to yourself. You see, say, I will fulfill the number of my days. Sometimes people die before their time. We hear that, don't you? I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. I know many times the enemy wanted to kill me. I know that. I see that. And that's happened here once before. So some of you may be aware of it. And I know that. But I ain't going to die before my time. I prayed to God and I said, God, give me X number of years and I'm going to live to see those years. I'm going to see my children's children and their children. Amen. Before my time is up, with good health though. Amen. You will fulfill your number of days. Don't let nothing take away. You don't have to die by accident. You don't have to die by some unnecessary illness. You got to rebuke it. And it's going to happen. I want to put some confidence in you in the word of God. This is not motivational language. This is the truth. As I know the truth, as the Bible teaches the truth, as we experience it in this church. Christianity is no more religion for us anymore. It's an experiential thing for us. It's things that we experience. And therefore, we're serious about it. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come. And will make all your enemies turn their backs on you. You see, some people may be planning something against you in the coming year. I know God has said, I'm going to send confusion into their camp. Amen. When they are planning to let you lose your job, God will confuse their counsel. When they are planning to do something evil against you, God is going to confuse their counsel. That's exactly what is going to happen to you. You see, they will compete for your job, but they won't get it because you also deserve that job. You deserve to eat. Because what did he say? I'll bless your food. I'll bless your water. So why would God take your job and make you redundant? If they're going to make you redundant, they should give you a good pay before you go. I just learned that my brother's wife, has taken redundancy. She's 63 years old. She's taking redundancy. I'm thinking, oh dear, what are you going to do with your life? I said, I've taken my redundancy and they've hired me again as a consultant. I say, I like that. This is exactly what we are talking about. Say, I'll bless your food. I'll bless your water. She's taking her money, and now they've hired her as a consultant. Get even more money. That is exactly what happens when you align yourself with God. I've got 5 minutes, so I'll finish soon. So I just want you to understand that God is therefore going to take you right in your context. That is where you are right now with him, and unleash his blessings and shift your economy and prosper you for good if you will obey him in the coming year and in the coming decade. God is going to shift your economy. That's what he's saying. See, when there's a shift in your economy, it's for the good, isn't it? He's going to shift English language. He's going to shift it upwards for you, for the good, on condition that you obey him in the coming year and the coming decade. In fact, I want you to see your future as better than what it is right now. There's going to be a mega shift here, not only in your economy, but in all that concerns you. If you would obey God, your future has to be better than it is right now. Next year, and indeed the next 10 years, has got to be better than what it is right now. Let us make that declaration right now. Join me to say this. I declare and see my future as better than what it is right now. Shall we do it again? I declare and I see my future as better than what it is right now. For the last time, I declare and see my future as better than what it is right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you had nothing at all, you're going home and tell somebody, you know what? I can see my future as better than what it is right now. And next year, you sit here and you got to tell me that it's better than what it is right now. And 10 years time, you have to sit here and tell me that it's better, because I'm not going to die. I'm going to be here 10 years. So it's going to be better than what it is right now. My wife wants me to go somewhere in 10 years. what I'm trying to say to guys, you're going to be better next year than what it is right now. You've got to declare it yourself, but on condition that you're obeying God. Surely my last verse that I want to, passage that I want to read is from Leviticus 26. Verse 3 to 13. For the next moment, let's see what God is saying to his people who were in an agrarian society. He says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in the season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing floor will continue until grapes harvest. And the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers. And I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. And I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you will no longer be slave to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with hearts held high. This is beautiful, isn't it? So when you go home, read it again. And as you read it, appropriate it to yourself. And tell yourself that, if I will keep God's commandments and keep his statute and perform them, make it my priority, then God will give you rain in this season. That means that when you need money, you'll be there. When you need health, it'll be there. Everything that you need in each season is going to be there. And it's not only going to be there, but it's going to actually yield fruit, increase for you. There's going to be a mega, mega shift for you. Definitely. And I mean, when you read through this, it's just amazing. Just like as one is finishing, the other one has already started. So there's a cycle of blessings for you time and time again as from obedience. Amen. Okay. So my time is up, so I have to finish. So in conclusion, yeah, it's told me exactly that. Surely Jesus went to the cross to die for each one of us. And he gave us a divine exchange to pave the way for us to align our lives and a purpose to the will of God. Surely he came to destroy the works of the evil one, to release us and release unto us immeasurable blessings for the coming year and coming decade. The coming decade has got to be better than the past year, the past decade. Now I want us to stand and we're going to pray. It's only about 13 minutes to 12.